I'm now joined with Michaela Palazzo, aid worker for Concern Worldwide. She's presently on the island of Haiti, and she's going to be talking about the emergency appeal to help Haitian families who have been displaced by the recent devastating earthquake. Good afternoon, Michaela. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Johnny. It's great to be here.
You're most welcome. Michaela, tell us how bad it is over there in southwestern Haiti for displaced families.
Right, so this week I traveled with Concern Worldwide down to the area that was affected by the earthquake, and it was really not a great situation. I mean, just going down, it was clear that roads had been completely covered with rubble, and luckily they'd been cleared, but there's still a lot of debris on the road that makes driving quite unsafe and slow. We were conducting an observational visit there to plan our response, and so as part of that, I had the chance to talk to a few families. And I mean, just the look of disbelief in people's eyes while they're standing in front of their crushed houses and businesses was really difficult to see. We spoke to one woman in particular who stood out to me. Her and her family of about 8 people were sleeping outside their house on a broken mattress because the roof and the walls had caved in. And we asked her if she had any hope of rebuilding. And her response was, "I sell peanuts for a living. How could I possibly afford to rebuild a home?" So, I mean, the needs are quite intense there, and we're hoping to get in soon with a response.
What kind of impact did Storm Grace have in terms of hampering relief efforts?
So this area is already quite challenging to access. Some of the places that were hit the hardest by the earthquake are quite remote. And so when you have already a difficult access situation, then you have debris on the road, and then you have about 10 inches of rain on top of that, it just makes it really difficult for humanitarian organizations and the government of Haiti to access those in need.
Okay, and roughly how many families have been displaced? Just roughly.
Yeah, so I mean, the number goes up by the day, but now we're looking at least 75,000 and counting. I would say on top of that, the Haitian government's estimating that about 500,000 people, which is about 40% of the population of this area, are in need of emergency humanitarian assistance.
I believe there isn't enough shelter for everyone. And as you mentioned earlier, some are sleeping on mattresses on the street. Would that be right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's not enough shelter for everybody who needs it. There are some towns that are entirely decimated. And so there are a large number of families who are sleeping outside. And I mean, given the recent weather, some of them are stuck in the rain and in really difficult conditions.
Absolutely. At this point in time, Michaela, what are the vital supplies and materials needed to assist the families?
Evaluations are still ongoing to make sure that we're giving the assistance that's needed the most. But it's looking like now people need support to rebuild their homes and their businesses. People need basic items to keep clean, like soap and laundry detergent and toothbrush and toothpaste. We also are looking into helping people get food. Many people lost their businesses when the buildings collapsed. And so that makes the kind of livelihoods and economic situation difficult as well.
Okay. And the latest death toll figure we have here is just over 2,100, which is very sad indeed. You probably expect a daily increase going forward.
Absolutely. I mean, it has been so difficult to reach some of the more affected areas, and search and rescue efforts have been hampered by the weather. So I think we can expect to see this figure climb for at least the next week, if not longer.
Yes, of course. And as we speak, you know, the search among the rubble of collapsed buildings is still continuing.
Right, it is. I mean, I've been seeing videos being shared around here of people still being pulled from the rubble. And I mean, people still have family members who are missing. So hopefully the search and rescue efforts can continue.
Yes. And of course, in addition to that, roughly 12,200 people have been injured. And local hospitals, I believe, are struggling to cope. Would that be right?
Right. That's right. It's really a difficult situation. I mean, I think video footage has also been going around of hospitals, and they really are just overwhelmed.
Okay. And early assessments show that roughly 7,400 homes have been completely destroyed, and also almost 4,900 damaged. And also some churches, schools, hospitals, hotels and so on had collapsed or were badly damaged by the earthquake.
Right, that's true. And I think in particular, what's really dangerous is these homes that were partially damaged, because there may be people still trying to live there as opposed to sleeping outside. But as we still have inclement weather and we still have aftershocks, those buildings are at risk of caving in completely, which could injure people or displace even more families.
I believe CERN has experienced teams on the ground currently assisting in the crisis. Tell us about the work that you were involved with over there.
Right, so this week we had an emergency team on the ground evaluating the situation. Like I said earlier, we were talking to families and going around seeing firsthand the damage to start planning our response. We're looking to respond here for the next few months, and we're trying to get the funding that we need and plan for that. But there are real emergency needs on the ground. So today we're going to be distributing hygiene kits, which contain those items that I mentioned earlier, like soap and toothpaste and laundry detergent, so that people who are displaced from their homes are able to stay clean. We're also likely to focus in the medium term on making sure people have enough to eat, giving them the resources they need to rebuild their homes, preventing gender-based violence that can occur when people are suddenly having to live outside in crowded conditions, and then supporting them psychologically to process the trauma that they've experienced.
Okay. So, Michaela, tell us about the emergency appeal and how anyone can donate.
Right. So, CERN has launched an emergency appeal to raise funding for us to respond in this emergency situation. So you can go to CERN.net, and right at the top of the page, you can read about how we're responding, and there's a link to donate there.
I suppose even if someone was to donate 10 euro, they may feel, how is that going to help? But they don't know that so many other people might donate 10 or 20 euro, and it all adds up, doesn't it? Every euro counts.
That's absolutely true.
Okay.
Every euro really does count.
Isn't it true that the country still hadn't fully recovered from the earthquake experienced back in 2010?
Yes, it's true. So, I mean, the earthquake in 2010 really decimated the whole urban area of Port-au-Prince, and the country has not recovered from that. And then, I mean, what's more, there was Hurricane Matthew in 2016, which people still have not recovered from. So it's really just one shock after the other in Haiti.
And would it be true to say that Haiti is actually the poorest country in the Americas?
It is, yep. Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, which already, I mean, sets the stage for a really difficult response.
And the country is also still in the midst of social and political unrest after what happened
a few weeks ago. I know. I mean, Haiti has just had to deal with so much in the last decade. I mean, from the 2010 earthquake to Hurricane Matthew, in 2019, the country was set into a nationwide lockdown due to intense violence from armed gangs. And then, I mean, in the last year alone, Haiti's faced the COVID-19 pandemic, rising food prices, escalated gang violence, and then recently, last month, their president was assassinated. So any further shocks like these earthquakes have real impacts on people's lives and their ability to earn a living.
Finally, Michaela, what's the current position in Haiti in terms of COVID-19?
The COVID-19 situation in Haiti is not great. Official figures put the number of cases per day around only 100, but testing is basically non-existent. And so I think that the reality is that COVID is a real threat here. And I think what's really difficult is that there have been serious challenges to getting the population vaccinated. And currently, I think it's something like less than 0.1% of people in Haiti are fully vaccinated. So we're still going to be dealing with the impacts of COVID-19 for quite some time.
Okay, and just to reiterate, would you like to just mention again for anyone who wants to donate the website?
Right, so our website is CERN.net, and you'll find the emergency appeal right at the top of the page.
That's excellent. Right, so we leave it there for today. Thank you very much again, Michaela, for joining us and taking the time to be here, as I know you're very busy over there. And good luck with everything in assisting displaced families. Keep up the great work, what you do, and all the very best to you. Do take care.
Great, thank you so much.
You're most welcome. Now, that was Michaela Palazzo, aid worker for CERN Worldwide, talking about the current situation in Haiti and also about their emergency appeal to assist families displaced by the recent earthquake.